Well, as you know, we're getting toward the end of the book of Revelation. So turn to Genesis chapter 3. I'll do something different, and I'll tell you why. You remember in a school, probably, learning about man in our earliest stages and the cave drawings that we did before we really got capable of drawing. Of course, they're better than I draw now, the ones we see. And telling us about how that this was a part of the ascent of man, that we were coming up to where we actually had sense. And we could think, I wonder what ever happened to that thinking part. But it's totally unbiblical what we learn. If you learned in the Bible about, or in school, elementary school, about cavemen drawing on walls like they were a lesser form of humans today, you heard a lie. It never was that way. Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? The woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. The serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. She gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? He said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? The man said, the woman whom you gave to me to be with me, she gave me from the tree, and I ate. The Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. The Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you will go, and dust you will eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. Let's pray. Lord, the wondrous work of redemption in the gospel, we really take for granted a lot of times because we have the blessing of being raised in the environment of hearing it. And because of that, we have privileges that others in the world don't have. But Lord, we never should lose the awe we have in this gospel, that what we see here happening, you corrected through the gospel. Teach us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. If you strain your memory hard enough, it is possible for you to remember the beginning parts of your life. Some of you it's easier because you're a lot closer. The day we walked into school for the first time, that day that we stood in front of the church and watched our soon-to-be bride, I'm speaking of men, coming down the aisle. And the day we started a job that we worked at for a while. And if you strain not quite as much, you can also think of certain ends that took place. The graduation day after you started school. The end of that beginning. Walking out of the church with your bride, with all the women crying that they've lost you. And when you left the job. A beginning and an end. Redemption has a beginning and an end. We have Genesis, we have Revelation, and redemption is covered from beginning to the end in the Word of God. Redemption means, it refers to the plan of God to redeem, to save. To take what became wasted and worthless in the garden by the fall and to restore it to its original purpose. And to follow God and to have a relationship with God again. That is redemption. We just were completely lost. And so God brought the purpose of redemption back and restores us to His favor. That's redemption. And Revelation shows us the end of that. Genesis shows us the beginning of it. And there is then for us a beginning and an end. A lot of times you can't remember the beginning. A lot of times you can't see the end. But take the devil's kingdom, for example. There is a beginning and an end to it. The devil's kingdom starts and the devil's kingdom ends. Rebellious sinners who will never repent. There's a beginning to that and there's an end to that. There's an end to it if they repent. And there's an end to it if they're judged. But there's a beginning and an end. And actually the time itself for repentance, there's a beginning and an end. There's a time when sinners hear the gospel for the first time. And they hopefully receive it. But in the course of time, who knows how long, there's no set time. God extends His grace and call generally to them. And a day comes when they no longer hear it. Eyes they have, they do not see. Ears they have, and they do not hear. We don't know how long or when, but there's a beginning and an end to the offer of the grace of God. 12 times in high school, from 12 times from first grade through high school, 12 times, I said, this year will never end. We'll never get to the summer vacation now because it's just September. And we got a whole school year to go through. Every time it came. Every time it passed. College then, 4 years, every year passed. Every time finished. There's a beginning and an end. My aim is to make Revelation as clear as possible. Had some questions the other night, kind of to see where we were. There's still some confusion. That's not something to be ashamed of. It's on the way to understanding. But sometimes what happens is when we focus on a book like Revelation, which would have been read in one sitting when it was delivered, but we're digging into it, and you would benefit, of course, by reading the whole thing every week. But if you've got a map before you, and you focus in on that one little dot, you don't know where you are until you look at the wider picture. That's what we want to do this morning. I want to look at the wider picture before we get into Revelation 18, which is interesting in regard to Babylon, the civil power and commercial power. But by panning back, we want to understand Revelation more. Revelation is not in a vacuum. Revelation is connected to the rest of the Bible. There are not two books put together to make a Bible. The Bible is one book. It has an old covenant, it has a new covenant, but it's one book. There aren't two gods in the Bible. There's one God. There's not two ways of salvation. There's one. So Revelation is connected, the thread of redemption between Genesis and Revelation, they're one. So when you understand redemption as a whole, we hope to understand more the specifics of the end of it, where we've been looking of late. A lot of people think of redemption as a failure because not everybody gets saved. The gospel goes out. There's no logical reason why people will not be saved. There is a spiritual reason for it. Hardness of heart, the inability to believe because we're fallen, we've rejected. As I said, the Jews did that to such a degree that their hearts became so hard that they wouldn't hear anymore. There's various reasons. Some want the pleasures of the world and don't want to forfeit those for God, who they would consider to be less of a pleasure. But there are people who think the whole thing God intends has failed, because so many don't believe. I've tried in our home for some years, while Jessica was living at home, I would suggest every now and then, my wife would say, "What would you like to have for a meal?" I've had three words for years: Chinese chicken morsels. One against two. Cindy and Jessica, they didn't like it. There's nothing not to like about it. But there's not a majority opinion. So I say, okay, I understand. It's not the popular thing. But, you know, I still ask from time to time. But some people say, well, you know, redemption is not desired. People don't want the Lord. The Lord gets in the way of people's lives. And if he can't even offer salvation in heaven for free and people take it, it's a failure. Or because the devil's kingdom seems to have the upper hand. So many other religions are sprouting and thriving. And that can't be. It's got to be a failure. Or because the world is so loony. Wouldn't it be if the gospel and redemption was a success, wouldn't people be less loony? Well, you know, they don't think they are loony. We tend in our society today, when a person has a problem, we don't rescue them, we cement them in it. It's like someone's in the pool drowning, and the cement truck backs up the pool and dumps the whole load right in the pool to make sure they stay in there. When a three-year-old girl says to mommy, "Mommy, I feel like I might be a boy," mommy doesn't correct them and she pours cement in the pool. She doesn't tell them what they are. She says, bring on the cement truck. Let's cement this in there, that child. When kids start worrying about the planet's going to melt, the sea's going to rise, our house is going to be flooded by global warming, parents don't say, forget that junk. They say, well, we bring the cement truck, back it up. And they scare kids to death with talk like that. We have a loony world. Our world is so loony. I saw this yesterday, I believe. If you call your pets pets, that's wrong. The head of PETA says, don't call your pets pets. If you ever look at your cat or your dog and they look down, did you call them a pet? What do you expect? That's what these people think. This is Loon Central. These people are crazy, crazier than we have words to express. Who knew that if you started talking about transgender issues, that who thought ever it would happen that a boy would transgender into a girl and play in high school sports as a girl? And who knew that he would beat the snot out of them? Because who knew that there's a difference between a boy and a girl? Back the cement truck up, they said, and pour it in the pool. Drown them all. Now you got kids, girls, who are athletes who say, why do we even bother? Because we're letting men dress up as women, take some hormones, and play as girls. And they're stronger. Sorry, they're stronger. But the world doesn't get it, and they're having to face that now because it's a problem. You can deny all you want, but God has made us a certain way, but the world doesn't get it. So people say, it's not working. Here's the way the Bible would tell us. Individuals fail in the offer of redemption. Redemption never fails. Redemption succeeds in everything that God sends it to succeed in. There's not one person that God intends to redeem that he will not redeem. All the people who say all the things they say about God, the Bible, the gospel, none of that will prevail. And we have the whole context in the entirety of the Bible. Now, here is in the beginning in Genesis. In the beginning. And when men showed up, Adam and Eve, a lot had happened before they got here. It's like Rip Van Winkle went to sleep for 20 years, was it? And woke up and 20 years later. Verse 1 shows us that before we were created, something happened that didn't go well. Because you have in the very beginning a serpent and a woman, Eve, and the Lord God, we're told, of course, made all these animals. The serpent was the most crafty. And there's a conflict going on. Because the very first encounter here, we see the serpent tempting the woman to do what God has told the woman not to do. The serpent, later on, we will see in the form of a dragon. The serpent is the first animal that the devil was like. In the end, we see in Revelation a dragon. It's the same person, the same being, the same system. So something happened, and a conflict occurred, and now there is a rift in the world. Because the devil is against God and tempting Eve to also be against God in the crafty form of a serpent. So there's a conflict. Cindy and I ate at a restaurant a few weeks ago. And they brought us, hope you're not queasy, they brought us paper straws. Paper straws. She tried hers. But whenever we used to be in school and put paper in our mouth, they'd tell us to stop. I didn't even try mine. But whenever you get a paper straw, you know something's wrong. Something happened. Something happened somewhere, and we don't know about it yet, but something's wrong. Of course, what's wrong is, you know, the whole climate change deal and throwing plastic straws in. Abortion's fine, but no plastic straws. So what's up with that? So what happened here that God's creation is now opposing God? Well, we know there's a great rebellion that took place. Some of the angels fell. Some were not those that fell. And God judged but did not throw it all out. Some of it continues. We have it today. And the serpent is not interested in the welfare of man. The serpent is interested in his own kingdom and getting people to come from God's kingdom to his. From God's creation to being under his power. That's what the devil's after. And that's what he tempts Eve to do. And that's what every person inherits from Adam and Eve. Alienation from God. And so mankind's well-being is not a concern. And so the command was disobeyed and we fell and we were alienated from God. And that's exactly what the devil desires. So the first 11 chapters of Genesis shows us what happens when we don't fear God. In the first 11 chapters of Genesis, remember, Genesis shows us the beginning of redemption. And we get to the end in Revelation. In the first 11 chapters, we have chaos. Twice. In 11 chapters, we have rebellious consolidation of men against God. Before the flood, it was all evil continually. And then after the flood, the Tower of Babel. And so all the way up through chapter 11, there was rebellion against God because they did not fear God. When you don't fear God, you get away from God. And you try to stay away from God. And you try to get other people to stay away from God with you. And so there's just chaos. And we see it here. There's the story. The woman looked at it, this fruit, and she saw everything in it that was not true as though it were true. Verse 6, she saw the tree was good for food, that it was a delight to the eyes, and the tree was, get this, desirable to make one wise. She took from its fruit and ate. And she gave her husband with her. And the world's first pansy man took it and ate it. And so we fell. The eyes of both of them were open to evil now. They knew now evil. They knew alienation. They knew rebellion. They knew sin. So now they were ashamed and tried to cover it on their own with loin coverings. When the Lord came, they couldn't be in his presence because they had sinned. They tried to hide, which is impossible to do. So he calls them and they say, you know, we hid because we're naked. And the Lord says, well, did you eat? Yep. They do the old passing the buck. Well, the woman made me and the woman the serpent made me. Well, the serpent part is all I've got to today, and that's my purpose. Look, verse 15. The serpent was the devil. The old serpent, the devil. Here's what the Lord said about the devil. Verse 14 is about the snake. Verse 15 about the devil. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, you shall bruise him on the heel. If you show up one day and you've got a big black eye, and clearly you've been in some kind of an accident, what happened? I took my head and I slammed somebody in the fist as hard as I could. About broke their fingers. Not exactly what happened, was it? This is saying to the devil, you've gotten what you've desired here at first, but here's what's going to happen. From this woman that you've led astray, from these human beings, from her seed, someone will come and there will be alienation, enmity between you and the woman and her seed. And the end result we're going to see in Revelation. But the end result is you will bruise him on the heel, which means he stomps you on the head. He'll crush your head. That is the earliest mention of redemption, where the Lord Jesus Christ of the seed of woman would come and crush the serpent's head and all the serpent's wishes to rule this world. There was a conversation that took place between Jesus and a couple of his disciples on the road to Emmaus. And it was about this whole thing of redemption. Why did Jesus have to go to the cross? You know, a lot of people think of the cross as a failure. That Jesus being sent to the cross was against his will. That somehow they put him up there and didn't want to go. They dragged him to it. Jesus, these disciples were depressed. Oh, what happened? Oh, Jesus was crucified. We really had hopes in him, but now it's all gone. He said this: was it not necessary for Christ to suffer these things? That was the bruising his heel. And to enter into his glory. Luke 24:26. And so we're told that beginning with Moses, Genesis was written by Moses. Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. That is the thread of redemption. From Genesis, where we fell, to Genesis, where we're told that the serpent is going to have his head crushed. Jesus came and crushed the serpent's head. He suffered. He died. His heel was bruised. But he crushed it and brought redemption. That alienation there doesn't have to be. Now, for some, it will never end. For some, alienation will be the way they live for eternity. A lot of them don't care now because it's not eternity. But some will stick with that. They'll stay alienated. They'll stay separated from God. They will have a few years here. Live it up while you can. And then you're eternally in suffering. The Lord came to stop that. The Lord came to crush the serpent's head. The serpent's delights in bringing people down. So, when we get to Revelation, a lot has happened. In the end, a lot has happened. You know, stories begin once upon a time and they lived happily ever after. A lot happens in between that. There's the old covenant in Israel. There's the new covenant in the church. There's physical and spiritual Israel. I'm not going to speak on these right now because it's just no time for it. And they're pretty in depth. There's a physical and spiritual humankind. You know, there's men who are men, humans, we're physical, and we have a soul that has to be redeemed. And Jesus, with his work, crushes the serpent's head. Just as we see in Revelation, he crushes the beast. In his redemptive work, he defeats the devil, breaks the serpent's hold on the world, fulfills the law, takes people out of Satan's kingdom, rescues them, doesn't pour cement back into it. He fully pays the price of sin with his death. He provides life with his resurrection, and he's building the church, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. Nothing. Now, our Southern Baptist brothers try from time to time to circumvent the Bible to modern thinking. It will not work. Nothing will overcome the church. All the air that people pour into it, all the social things that the people make the church, it will not prevail. And Revelation shows the end of that. That the great power of Babylon, the great kingdom of the devil, in all its forms, is destroyed. In Daniel chapter 2, there was a big statue. Head to feet. The statue showed Babylon and Medo-Persia and Greece and Rome. And the feet were the last stage of that kingdom. And in that dream, a stone came, cut without hands, and smashed the statue on its feet. And the whole thing went into dust. That's Revelation. That rock is the work of Christ smashing the head of the serpent and destroying the kingdom. He made a system. He made a church at his first advent. When he comes again, he's gonna restore Israel as a Christian nation. So it will come to pass what was told in Revelation 11. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. That is certain to come. The church is already a nation, a spiritual nation. Israel will embody the spiritual nation of the church one day. The great religions of the world will end. All the false religions will be done. All religions ended. John Lennon would be just overjoyed. You know, he had that song, Imagine No Religion. There was no religion. People think, oh, it would be great for no religion. Well, there'll be just one then, John. No more idolatry, no more spiritual adultery, and prostitution. In the meantime, Babylon continues to exist. The civil and the spiritual. The nations and the religions. And the devil is crushed now by the work of Christ. But he's not all the way crushed. If you ever step on a snake, you want it never to move. A lot of times they keep moving on. The devil still has a little wiggle in him because the Lord has not yet come to judge him and throw him into the lake of fire. We see that in Revelation. And right now the battle rages until the end. That's Revelation. That's the scope. That's the wider scope. Now, I mentioned popcorn earlier. Debbie's got me on that topic. In my life, I learned pretty early. I don't cook, but I learned how to make popcorn. And back then, it was get a pan, you know, or a pot or something deep enough, pour it in there, and you shake it like that, and you put the top on, and you look in there, and it was always some would blow out. You know, that was part of the fun of it. And you couldn't leave it sitting there. You had to get it off the eye or burn and all that. So there is a, when I make popcorn, the making of the popcorn is not a joyful thing to me. It's a lot easier now. I'm not talking about microwave popcorn. That's pretty easy. But if you put it in a pop, you have to put oil in it. You have to put the kernels in there. Get it out of the cabinet. Plug everything up. You know, pop it. And wait. How long does it take? If you're making popcorn in oil, How long does it take for that first little to go? Then you look down there and it's sizzling and it starts to pop and it really goes. But finally, with the smell just, oh, finally it's in. Finally you can put it in a bowl. Finally you put your salt on it. Finally you can pour your butter on it, whatever, and finally you can eat popcorn. Start to finish. Revelation tells us that popcorn is on the way. Right now, it's being made. The wider scope of redemption, the beginning and the end. Revelation, the end. Genesis, the beginning. Let's pray. Lord, you don't have to show us the end, but it's really assumed when you have chosen to redeem. For Lord, you said you will take us to be with you. Where you are, we shall be also. That's the end. And that those who have no hope in you are living in death even now, waiting for the final manifestation of it. But Lord, what a great thing if we see those who are alienated from you, the devil's delight, be rescued from the kingdom of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of your Son. Lord, may it be that before the end, we have our end in Christ settled. In Jesus' name.